Welcome to Free Association. Let me turn that down a little bit. Welcome to Free Association. It's Sunday, the 23rd of April, 2023. When you hear this, it'll be 4 p.m. in the UK. And the show starts now. Dennis, I'm with you for the next hour. You're listening to Free Association, and I'm testing a new workflow. That's why I'm doing this particular show, pre-recording as if I'm doing a live radio show. Let's see how that works. The advantage of recording as if it's live is that I get to cut out the ums and ahs a little bit and test a few things with Reaper. Test the fade in, fade out, test the processings, the special effects, sound effects or whatever, and then glue it together as if it's a live show. So it'll still have my mistakes in it. I'm not going to take those out. That's part of doing the live show, but it'll have less of them, and it'll probably have less breathing noises and clicks and pops and all the other things that my voice does when I'm doing a live show. So just to be clear, I don't actually know what I'm doing with Reaper or with the plugins that I'm using. I'm just playing with them to find a way to make my voice sound reasonable and take out the breath noises and the pops and clicks. And what I'm finding when I'm playing back what I've recorded so far is that it's within the dynamic range on the Master Desk plugin that I'm using for the mastering on the master track, which is a Brainworks plugin with lots of dials and a meter that tells me the range that I should be in. And I'm, coincidentally, I am in that range, which is a nice thing to know because it's just happening. I don't know whether it's a good idea or not, but I've also put a limiter on each individual track. It's called the Event Horizon Limiter. I'm not sure exactly where I got it from, but it was free. So you should be able to find it if you do a search and then download it and add it to... For me, I'm adding it to each track just because then I know when those tracks are consolidated, nothing's going to clip, but I don't know whether that's the right way to do it or not, really. It's a matter of personal taste, I think. I could just do it on the master track and work it out from there, but I think for me it's better if I'm, because I'm recording in 3-minute blocks or 2-minute blocks or 5-minute blocks, it's just easier to have it on each track. For me, that just makes more sense for my workflow. But everybody's different. There's some interesting Neville Goddard content or Neville Goddard based content showing up on YouTube every now and again. So I do shows using other people's content because I've done my own version. And this is just confirmation for me that what I'm doing is pretty much the right thing to do and the right thing to say to people, because it's confirmed from the outside by other people that I trust. So here's some of that content.
So by popular request, let's continue our Neville Goddard conversations with regards to relationships, and more specifically, creating the kind of relationships you want. And just as we discussed in Thursday's video, we bring awareness to how relationships show up in our lives, and if applicable, we reimagine them to be a certain way, and they reflect accordingly. We also discussed how you are the formless self, I, and you give form to this I in imagination, and from there, our relationships show up accordingly. This is the part we want to remind ourselves of regularly. to recall that the cause is within. It is the imaginal act. Do not conform, be renewed in mind, Romans 12:2. From there, we reimagine our relationships, and they show up that way. Look back at your life. Any visible changes thus far you made, this is how they were initiated. Here we see Neville sharing it. And as a matter of fact, the lecture from 1953, where he says this, is titled, Changing the Feeling of I. He says, and so we start with I, for the I has neither face, form, nor figure, but it does mold itself into structure by all that it consents to, all that it believes, and few of us really know what we do believe. No idea of the unnumbered superstitions and prejudices that go to mold this inner formless I into a form which is then projected as environment and conditions of life. So the part where he says, unaware of the self that we really cherish, this is the formless self, I. How we believe ourselves to be, how others to be, how they relate with us, how we relate with them, those are attributes of what we are imagining that reflect as the relationship conditions to this I. The I referred to here is beyond the self-image. As a matter of fact, you create the self-image in imagination. This self, the I, is formless. It is simply your awareness. Without any mental, emotional, or physical form, it's your spiritual self. You'll find many ways of saying the same thing permeating throughout the scriptures of the world. Now, the outer world is made up of beliefs. It is, therefore, beliefs externalized into form by what this I believes. As he says here, all that it believes. This formless I simply takes the contents of your mind, which is made up of many assumptions, which you could change any of them as they're not fixed, and forms relationships. It's done for you. It happens automatically. So changing the assumptions of this I in imagination changes how the relationships are experienced. Now, this I takes the contents of our mind, whether we are aware of them or not. And we discussed how to become aware in Thursday's video, mere observation. It projects the contents outward as the conditions and environments, as he says here, mold this inner formless I into a form. And so you give form to this I in imagination, and thus you have all the power. And how does it happen? Well, some way, somehow, known and unknown ways, the unseen power does it. We're instructed to simply imagine relationships being a certain way, and then they happen that way. So now this I is the same I in others, individualized, yes, and also the same I. As we experience this when we return to the center, for example, during meditation, here we experience what is called unconditional love. Love that is not conditioned by any belief, unconditional love. So how people relate to us, how we relate with them, and the relationships is based on our conditioning. The conditioning of this I we once formed and continue to reform. Now Neville, being highly aware, instructed all throughout his lectures to imagine others lovingly, whatever implies, because love is our true nature. Unconditioned love. And this is how they show up. I believe we are here to experience love, love in the five senses. When I started walking through this life from the position of love by practicing imagining lovingly for others, how I relate to them and how they relate to me, they showed up that way and in many different forms of love. They may be romantic relationships, friendships, clients, friends, family, all by imagining lovingly. All of my existing and new relationships show up how I desire them to be. And how do we know what we are imagining in relationships? Well, look at the results. How we think, how we emotionally relate, how we behave. Is it from the premise of how we would like it to be? If not, imagine how you would like it to be, and then it happens. And so what can cause a person to waver? This world? Actually, not this world. We let it be. It's rearranging to reflect how you'd like it to be. That's what I've noticed. And if I reacted undesirably to the rearrangement, it helps to not shame or condemn myself that I and condition it that way. I simply imagine that I already am the ideal I desire to be, and from this premise, I observe the changes occur without being overly identified with past beliefs no longer in harmony with how I'd like it to be. So whatever you associate to that I happens. So you might as well imagine what you desire. You came here to live how you want to live. And so let's talk about how, as he says here, the principle of least action governs everything in physics, from the path of a planet to the path of a pulse of light. Least action is the minimum of energy multiplied by the minimum of time. Therefore, in moving from your present state to the desired state, you must use the minimum of energy and take the shortest possible time. Your journey from one state of consciousness to another is a psychological one. So to make your journey, you must employ the psychological equivalent of least action. And the psychological equivalent is mere assumption. So again, metaphysics. All change is initiated in consciousness and then it appears in our physical world. You simply assume that's the way it is and go on with your life. It took some getting used to this for me since when I started applying the law this way. I was used to looking around for proof of the change, and this created overthinking in me. So I don't need it anymore. Instead, I am aware of the change and observe as it happens without looking for it to change. Do you see the distinction? And then the inner change reflects externally. It's done for you by the unseen power, and we need not worry about those details. Otherwise, we would be assuming unrelated attributes to that I. And what if one reacts to the world, seeming to suggest otherwise? Well, they may be past imaginings, externalized, and we do not need to give them any energy. For example, I noticed prior to going full-time in entrepreneurship in 2009, my relationships were a certain way. They were the way I once imagined them to be. Over the years of entrepreneurship, my relationship style changed. The way I operate as a whole changed, and more accurately put, I allowed myself, this I, to be how I desired, increasingly so over the years, and also how I desired my relationships to be, also changed. So I assumed that's the way it is because that's what I desired, harmonious relationships. In the earlier stages, it seemed that others were convincing me, so it appeared that way. That my style of relationships were not normal and I should do it this way or that way. The reality is, it has nothing to do with them. The reality is what was done in my imaginal act. They were only reflecting some of my past imaginings, and that's fine. We let them be. I don't argue with them. I might have playfully entertained the conversation, however. You see, the imaginal act was done, and that's what counts. So we let them be and imagine how we want it to be. And then those conversations eventually stopped. Nobody says those things to me anymore. And the relationship showed up exactly like how I imagined them to be, mutually desirable because it's not them. No one to change but that I. No one to change but self. This is the thing. To convince this world is a hit and miss for me. Unnecessary force and trying too hard. Instead, I imagine them a certain way and they show up that way. So you plant the seed with your imaginal act, water the plant, care for it, which is thinking, emotionally relating, and behaving from your vision. If we try to convince others, it might be a wise question to ask ourselves. What plant are we watering? And so if anyone says anything to seem to contradict your vision, it's totally fine. Revise it real time. I revise it real time in my mind, no argument. He refers to revision in state akin to sleep, which we've recently discussed. I'll link in the description to it. I also find it's easy to do this in the moment, real time. So for example, when I reimagine my relationships, if others seem to suggest Nobody would love me if I'm a certain way. It means in my mind, others love me for being the way I want. If they say, I could never do better, I know in my imagination it's already done and better relationships happen. Or if they say, you'll always be alone, in my imagination there are many people like me and I meet them. And it all played out that way as harmonious relationships. And then I notice, they who seem to convince me otherwise would change as well. They don't say those things anymore. As a matter of fact, they start mirroring my ideal thoughts, and we go on to have mutually harmonious conversations. As he says in his revision lecture, when I meet people tomorrow that today disappointed me, they will not tomorrow. For in me, I have changed the very nature of that being. And having changed him, he bears witness tomorrow of the change that took place within me. It is my duty to take this garden and really make it a garden by daily using the pruning shears of revision. Many years of sales also taught me this. We learn this. We show up ready to cross the T's and dot the I's because the deal is done. We don't show up trying to convince them to do the deal. The deal is done. If they don't sign now, fine. They may end up doing the deal at some point. And what if they doubt you? You mean doubt externalized, revealed by others? Inwardly thank them for revealing it to release identification to that doubt. And what if they don't want to do the deal? That's fine. I let them be. I pick up the phone and make the next call. And then I see the next prospect doing the deal. Either way is perfect for me, as mentioned. I've seen them eventually come back and do the deal down the road. So imagine lovingly in the presence of others, all relationships. It reflects back as harmonious relationships. And if it seems to not appear like that right away, it's fine. Let them be and assume that reality is the way you imagine it to be. And they show up that way by your faith. So I trust you found this video to be helpful. Let's go ahead and conclude this with an auto-suggestion to further encourage. You could say, I imagine others into my reality from the premise of how I'd like them to be. Others show up, seemingly, out of nowhere to reflect my ideal relationships. I imagine what I desire in various forms of ideal harmonious relationships, allowing them to show up and reveal the change that took place within me. I am aware of this wherever I go and wherever I am. For wherever I am is how I imagine it to be. And all who show up reflect how I imagine them to be. If you would like a copy of this mind map, the link is in the description. Thank you very much for watching. I'll talk with you soon. Take care.